entitled, What Do You Believe? What do you believe? You know, I've asked a lot of people through my years of ministry how they feel about the Lord and do they believe that God can heal them. I was in a revival one time in Goshen, California, M.C. Cope's church back in the day. I was only about 27, 28 years old. And praying for people like I do in revival meetings at the altar call. And I came to this lady. Don't know who she was. Don't know her name today. She was a complete and total stranger to me. She was just in the service and she came up to be healed. And for some reason, I was quickened by the Holy Ghost to simply ask her a question. Do you believe God can heal you? And she said, no. And so I just stepped away because there was no reason for me to lay hands on her or go through any sort of a conversation trying to talk her into it. You'll never find Jesus in the Bible or any of the disciples talking people into believing to get healed. You see people crying out to Jesus, crying out to for alms. And yet Peter and turned and at the gate beautiful and lifted that person up. Silver and gold have I not, but what I do have to offer you is Jesus Christ. We see the blind crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. You hear of Peter's shadow going across people as he walked by, and just the presence of his shadow because of the anointing of God healed them. But I find even today, in this modern day we live in this digital day, reading things on Facebook and reading articles elsewhere that are digital, that there's a lack of faith. Almost they're saying, maybe God will help me. And I don't believe people really mean to say that, so please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to place into your heart to carry with you for the rest of your life. I just believe people are so beaten down today because of lack of prayer, lack of Bible study, or being around negative people that they get to the place where they just say, maybe God will heal me. In other words, I'm ready to give up. I want to encourage you today. If I don't say anything else today, I want to encourage you to realize that God will heal you. The little widow woman, as she was pressing through that great crowd that day with an issue of blood for 12 years, she had used every idea that men had given her, every prospect that may have helped her, and all failed. From metaphysical healing to doctors of that time, she was a rejected woman. But she pressed through the crowd. She had an inner strength. Something was there saying, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Some translations say, I will be healed. And when she touched that garment because of her faith, as Jesus stated, your faith has made you whole. She was instantaneously healed. You know, we sometimes don't stop to realize that this woman, in the moment of time in her life when everything else had failed, she still had radical faith. The day we live in today, when everything else fails, everybody else seems to fail. God doesn't love me. God doesn't really care about me. Well, he healed her, but not going to heal me. But let me say this to you, that God does care about you, about me, about his church. He cares about the sinner, obviously, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him, because he gave his only begotten son, that they shall not perish but have eternal life. I know I said that a little different, because I want you to understand the first thing is that you need to believe in him. You need to trust him. You need to know who you're believing in, the great healer, the great provider, the great peace, the great banner over us. And that banner over us is his love, his agape love, his agapeo love, noun and verb, both stating the same thing. It is a love that we fully don't understand, but we have faith in. His love resides in us, which is so marvelous. And so when I see this lack of trust in God's word, when it becomes almost a historical story that could be written by any author, that it's a good story. It has a lot of exciting moments in it. But I just don't know whether or not I really trust, or God has the ability, or I actually really believe that God can take care of my situation. And here's the counter of what I'm saying. When someone gets saved, this is so real, and I know you see it. When somebody gets saved and you ask them, "Are you saved?" They say, "Yes, I am." Now, there is no tangible sign physically that you got saved. People used to dress saved in the old days. They would change their whole outlook. Jewelry would come off and, you know, full length arm wear would be there, and skirt hems would go down, three quarters down the calf. There would be this look of salvation. Hair would be tied up. Men would dress in a different fashion. There would be a sign of salvation, but there was really no physical sign of salvation. I mean, language would change. Foul language, profanity would not be used. But when you ask someone, "Are they saved?" "By all means, I'm saved." "Do you think God can heal you?" "Maybe." You see, there's a faith in our salvation that God wants us to transfer, or wants us to realize it is the same God who saved us that will heal us, that will help us in every circumstance or situation that we have going in our life. Whether someone that was an addict for years can be instantaneously delivered, set free. A miracle. Someone that would wake up every morning and look for more heroin to get a fix, would sell their bodies or use their bodies in such a way that money could be made to get that fix. God can instantaneously deliver them. The alcoholic, instantaneously deliver them. Deliverance can come through the power of the love of Jesus Christ, through the delivering power of the Holy Ghost of the living God. But there's something there that we have to understand. There's a belief in God's word, and that is the key to our faith. These testimonies that we read in the Bible are amazing to me. I have a word drawing mind. When you talk to me, I draw pictures. And when I read the Bible, I get all these graphics in my mind. I mean, I get the biggest kick out of 400 years of terror and tyranny on the Israelites. And then Pharaoh gets to see this pillar of fire, this angel of the Lord leading them out of Egypt. That's a great graphic. I see a great graphic when they're at the Red Sea and they're all complaining. The ones in the front line are complaining to Moses, look where you've taken us now. There's no way out. And the pillar of fire is traveling down the road to get in between the Israelites and the armies of Pharaoh. What a great graphic. You see all these things in the Bible when you read them, that God shows that there is a picture that we need to see, not only in our minds, but a picture that we need to embrace in our hearts. That we need to have a complete believing faith in the Lord God, our Savior. Believing that He can take care of any situation, any circumstance. And I know that we live in a world where circumstances show up unwanted. Some created by bad decisions, other created by others' decisions. But all of a sudden, we are captured in a situation or circumstance to where we need God's help and we pray maybe. Or could you help me, God? And so we have to understand that we have to have this direction in our life. And we have to be able to be corrected by God's word to understand that there is a stability and a sustainability that should be in our life as we journey on this road called earth. That there is something there that is keeping us. I know I'm not speaking to deaf ears today. And I could take hours testifying to you of how God has blessed Kathy and I, blessed our children in such a way that it only has to be God. There's no other way it could be. It's God. I mean, my son Eloah got to Lee University by a miracle. We get a phone call from a girl that has a cold. She's Puerto Rican. She's speaking with a Puerto Rican accent in San Lorenzo. And she asks me, she says, are you Aloha's father? There's a baby crying in the background. She's holding the baby. I said, yeah, I'm Aloha Adams' father. Who are you? She goes, I'm so-and-so from Lee University. Would your son like to go to Lee University? At that time, it was Lee College. And I said, okay, this is a joke. This is one of Aloha's friends here in the Bay Area, you know, because he had a lot of Puerto Rican and Spanish friends and still does. This is a joke. She goes, no, this is not a joke. I said, it's a joke. No, it's not a joke. I said, it's a joke. She said, no, Dr. Khan wanted me to call. So all of a sudden, Aloha comes in the front door of our home there in San Lorenzo. He comes walking through the front door and I said, hey, Aloha, there's a girl on the phone. And I described the conversation that I had with her. Would you like to go to Lee College? And he stops there and his hair is all slicked back. He's sagging. You know, he's got a tank top, you know. I mean, he was in it. Got his tattoo on his back of the gang, you know, he was in it. He stopped. Yeah, that'd be fun. I said, yeah, he'd like to come. She says, could he be here by Tuesday? It's Sunday now. I want you to know it's in between church services. Could he be here by Tuesday? And I said, believe in God. Now, I've got caught up in this conversation. Now, the trick could all of a sudden be when I said, yes, he'll be there by Tuesday, she should have started laughing and said, hey, tell Aloha, this is so-and-so. Let me talk to him. I said, yeah, he can be there by Tuesday. By faith, I believe God could get us there. Now, we didn't have the money to get him there. We didn't have We didn't have the money to buy him the clothes to go to a southern school. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Let me just take you back to where this young man wasn't allowed to get into any high school in Cleveland, Ohio. The public schools didn't want me. The Catholic schools said no to Dennis Adams. All of Cleveland, Ohio, Benedictine, Latin, Heights High, no to Dennis Adams. What a great reputation. I felt so wanted. But God made a way for me to get to school. My dad had to buy me clothes, and he grumbled the whole time because I didn't have a real good relationship with him. We had to go to the men's store to buy clothes. I had to learn now, because I was what they called in those days a greaser. What does that mean, Pastor? My hair was slicked back. I wore Saratoga toed Stetsons, white on white shirts, and shark skin pants. I was a greaser, and they were sending me to Bardstown, Kentucky. When I showed up, those folks' mouths dropped open. They wore pegged, cuffed pants with Adler socks and Bass loafers, button-down blue shirts, and their hair was combed down and across the front. It was like I was a green pea in the midst of red strawberries. But God did something. We went to church that night, and I told the story of what just happened. The same story I just told you, minus my testimony of getting into school. And all of a sudden, one of our people came. The church treasurer of the church came and said, I want you to know that my wife and I just discussed it. And we're buying a Lois plane flight back to Cleveland, Tennessee. He'll be there by Tuesday. Now you have to understand, we didn't have the southern look. We were Church of God, but we've always been a bit different. He had to now learn how to dress. Now, Aloha went back with earrings in both ears, his hair combed straight back, long, sagging his pants and getting on that campus. And you know what? They loved him. Changed his life by a miracle. He had faced gangs from Oakland coming down to San Lorenzo with Uzis in their hand, pointing at him and his friends. My son Aloha was a very brave young man, him and another guy by the name of Johnny. Everybody else ran, and they stood there right in front of those guys. He said, are you going to use them? Use them. If not, get out of our town. Now he's back there in a whole different world. And the president or the chancellor of that university took him in as a son. We were great parents, but he took him in as a son to watch him through school. Today, he's a chief of medicine in Kaiser, in the ICU unit for the pediatric intensivist. Miracles can happen when you have a simple belief. I just want to challenge you today that, you know, God will fulfill His promises in you. It may not be tomorrow, it may not be next week, but He has not forgotten you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to be part of His awesome kingdom. And He wants you to know that He loves you with all His heart. Let me take you quickly just through three scriptures. Mark 11, 20 through 24. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Get the graphic. Beautiful fig tree. I've seen them. They're gorgeous. There was no figs on it. Jesus knew it was out of season, but he was Jesus. It should have had something there for him. Now, I want to just go ahead and get a little spiritual. Sometimes you feel out of season, and Jesus comes to you, and he just wants something from you. Obedience, praise, kindness to someone else, and he finds you empty. But thank God for the grace that has been bestowed upon us, that unmerited favor, because we are saved. He doesn't curse us. He loves us and he understands us. But I want you to know that, and Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. He could have said, don't worry about it. Tree didn't give me anything to eat. I cursed it. Let's move on. We got more business to take care of today. He said, have faith in God. A simple statement. Have faith in God. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. I remember driving across Utah, coming in to Nevada in a truck, and I was transferring antiques from Ohio and Pennsylvania to California to sell. And there was they call it the Mile High Mountain across the desert there, and you see it way out there. I just got born again, you know. I was still praying to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was doing everything I could. I was saying banana 10 times and saying it backwards on the 11th time just to kind of trip the switch, you know what I mean, to get me to speak in tongues. And I was doing everything. I was trying to bow tie Hyundai. I was trying everything I possibly could to get this gift happening in me, you know. And it's like, you know, it just wasn't happening. But so I'm just watching this. So I decided, you know what? I read that today. In the name of Jesus, move to the mountain. It didn't move. You know, God spoke to me years later and said, you know, why would I move a mountain that's way out of your way? It wasn't in your way or anything. It was just there for the beauty of my design called Mile High Mountain, and you're trying to move it. I appreciate your faith, son, but that mountain was not in your way. Now listen to me. Let me go on here, and I just want to get this into your spirit. Listen to verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you will receive them, and you will have them. Doesn't say maybe. Doesn't say I'm wondering. Doesn't say if you can. Believe that you shall receive them. I want you to ponder today. Think about, stir up in your own life right now what you really want God to do. First John chapter 5 tells us when we pray according to his will, he hears us, and we shall receive those things. We have confidence that we will receive those things. But what do you want today? What would you want God to do in your life today? Ask him. Believe him. Trust him, and it will come to pass. What God wants with everybody in his body is a total and complete belief system and trust that he is God, and nothing can stop him from blessing you. Except for you. By simply saying, maybe. Or the old false humility Oh God, I know I really need this, but my neighbor needs it more. But inside you're going, I want this thing now. Come on, God. You know, this is great. I want to be blessed. I want to be healed. You know, when I pray for my children, I don't pray maybe about my children. I pound heaven's door. You know, I want to remind you of a story I heard years ago back in the day when I was pastoring my first church. It's a silly little story, but it gives a great illustration. Give the graphic in your mind. There was a great door in a mansion. And inside that mansion lived a mighty king. And this hound dog came up there and barked at that door for hours with this deep, howling bark. Loud, clear bark at that door. Just barked at that door handle, barked at that door handle, barked at that door handle all day long. And then when the sun's about to go down, this little white poodle comes walking up this road. You know how little poodles are. You know, I'm not going to make the poodle walk, but I don't want to get you laughing. But basically, you know, okay. You know how the poodle comes up to walk, you know, and everything. And it's the sun's about to go down. And this big old hound dog looks at this little poodle and barks at her. She didn't care. She comes up to the door. This little poodle comes up to the door. And that hound dog just says, you know, in his actions, he just turns and runs down the road. In a way that you'll never get in. I've been here all day barking to get in. And the poodle goes up to the door and takes her little claws and scratches once on the door. And within moments, the door opens and lets her in. The difference is, the poodle knew that the master would answer. The hound dog just wanted the master to answer. You see, we have to have a knowing that God will answer our prayers. And we have to have a belief that no matter what we pray for, it may be silly to your neighbor, it may be silly to your mate, it may be silly to your friends, it may be silly to your church, whatever it may be, but you believe God will bless you. It may be very private to you that no one else knows. That poodle knew that little scratch at the door. The door would be open to her. And she just walked in. We can yell all day long at heaven's gates, but if we don't believe that the door will open, the door's not going to open. So you see, and what we have to understand is really, really clear here. In Matthew 21, 21 and 22, Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also you'll say to the mountain, 'Be removed and be thrown into the sea.' It will be done for you." 22, "And whatever you ask in prayer, if you believe, you will receive." Whatever you ask in prayer. Do you understand what whatever means? It's whatever. It's whatever. Sometimes people get frustrated with people and they're talking to them and they go, "Whatever." That means just whatever. You think it? Whatever. God doesn't say to you, "Talk to the hand." God reaches his hand out and embraces your belief, your love, your prayers, and draws them into his bosom and declares them done. Because of faith. That one word, faith. The trust and belief that God can heal me. God can deliver me. God can prosper me. But wait a minute, Pastor, I know he can. What should we really say there? God will deliver me. God will heal me. God will prosper me. God will take care of my prayers about my children, about my mate, about my employment. God will take care of my desires that I have for him, because I want to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I hope this is making sense. I'm going to close here in just a moment. But I just want you to understand that faith is really important in our lives. That we really need to believe God. Now, you can sit here and we can all be together and we can listen to this message and we can say to ourselves, yeah, yeah. But I'm saved. But I still don't believe God will hear me. Well, you may be frustrated today. Just frustrated because of difficulties and problems. Things didn't go your way. But God took you away that you knoweth not, but he's there with you. Let me take you back to the Red Sea. The reason he took them that way, they were not ready for war yet. They were slaves that were beaten for 400 years. The memories that they had were difficult, hard, sorrowful memories. But God heard their cry. The burning bush, he spoke to Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. I've often asked, how long ago did you hear that, God? How long? 400 years. I've heard the cry of my people. I'm here today to say one thing to your spirit. Have faith in God. He has heard your cry. Trust in God's timing. My boy, Eloah, my oldest boy, may not have made it through the gangs at that time. But God, who is rich in mercy, got a Puerto Rican girl with a screaming baby and she had a cold to call me. And then I found out that the youth director in California by the name of Greg Baird met Eloah at a youth camp and he called Lee University and said, I've got a young man out here that I believe that he can really be helped. To Dr. Khan, he said, you ought to give him a call. Even when you don't know what's going on, someone is calling out to God for you. Let me close with these scriptures. Mark 9, 23 and 24. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe. If or since you can believe. Let's put the since there because it can read that way. Since you believe, all things are possible to those, let's put those instead of him, those who believe. And immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe. Now listen, help my unbelief. Now this is where they just came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Now get that graphic. Moses, Elijah, Jesus, they're all meeting and the three of the disciples are there, Peter, James, and John, they're there and they're seeing this whole thing going on. They're listening to this conversation and they're wanting to build altars. They hear God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. I would have loved to have heard the conversation between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. That would have been really awesome. Maybe Moses would have said, Jesus, I'm amazed that you're doing this down here. Because I'm so amazed because I saw you there at the Red Sea. Elijah was just amazed because he was there and he said, Jesus, I've witnessed what you did through me. And now you're here as God's only begotten Son. You created us, Jesus. But now you're down with this creation and you're about to give your life for them. I don't know. Now they come down. And there, after they go for a while, they show up and there's a boy frothing from his mouth, throwing himself into the fire. More so if you wanted to picture an epileptic that had lost control of the body for a few minutes because of lack of medication. Said that we've asked your disciples to heal them, but they could not. And Jesus explained a few verses later why not. But first he wanted to have a conversation with the man. How long has he been like this? He talks to him about it. I often wondered how Jesus did that. Here's a young boy down there just twisting and frothing at the mouth, and the father is in despair, and Jesus wants to have a conversation. You know, sometimes I think if you'll stop and listen to God for a few minutes, God just wants to have a conversation with you. He knows what he's about to do. He just wants your attention. He wants to know your heart. And he wants you to be able to listen to your own voice. Jesus healed that boy. Because this man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe that should be the cry of the church today. Help our unbelief. We should have radical faith. The authentic life of a Christ follower should be radical faith. The disciples said, why couldn't we do this? He said, because some come out by prayer and fasting. So some things are so strong, you need to spend a little bit more time and discipline of who you are in me. And you need to be able to trust me that I've heard you. And I'm going to pronounce what I've heard done all across heaven. Church, believe me today, the Lord wants you. He wants the church, wants me to have radical faith. The day I laid my hands on that little boy in Salida, California, 12 years old, going in for open heart surgery on Tuesday, and it was Sunday to lay my hands on him, I just believed God could heal him. Tuesday, they found a recreated heart in his chest before they opened it up, an x-ray. The next time I saw him, he was riding down the street in Salida on a bike. He could never ride a bike before. He was just riding as fast as he could. Praying a prayer about a woman who was about to have a very dangerous surgery, a blockage in the artery going into her brain. The wrong cut, the wrong movement, the slightest error, paralyzation from the neck down or death. 75% chance she would not make it. God, reach across to heaven. Put your index finger on that spot where that blockage is. Dissolve it like sand and let it leave her body. That next day, they did the final x-ray to make sure that they would cut in a proper place, and it was gone. They went on CBN. I told them to leave my name out. I'm not the name guy. I don't like my name up on anything. I like his name up.
said, just take my name off. And they told that story across the nation and across the world, what God did. That woman called me a year ago. And she said, is this Pastor Adams? And I said, yes, who is this? And she gave me her name. She goes, I wanted to call and ask for forgiveness from you. Now, here's a woman that I prayed for and got healed. She said, I got angry with you because you told me that I was going to dance before the Lord. And I didn't believe it. And I wouldn't dance before the Lord. I wasn't going to do it. And I got angry with you. She said, my husband died of leukemia soon after you left the church in Illinois. And literally, she was angry, she said. Angry that my husband died. Angry at you saying that I would dance before God. And who did you think you were? A few years later, Pastor, I fell. In my whole left side, I was paralyzed and couldn't walk. I just listened. She said, I'm in a wheelchair now when I go to church. But I just wanted to let you know that about a month ago, I was sitting in the wheelchair. And the Spirit of the Lord told me to dance. And he lifted me out of that chair, totally paralyzed on the left-hand side, and I danced beautifully across the altars and throughout the church. As though I was totally healed and my side was perfect. But at the end of the dance, he sat me back down and I got paralyzed again on my left side. Whenever I go to church and he calls me to dance, I'm totally healed. She said, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? I said, of course I forgive you. She said, thank you for speaking into my life. You see, God will have you to dance no matter what condition your condition may be in. He will have you to dance before Him. So when if you're in your troubled time, you feel paralyzed and you can't do anything for the Lord, trust that God will have you dance. God will have you praise. Don't let your inability cause you not to have a stability with God in faith. Father, I thank you today. Angry that my husband died. Angry at you saying that I would dance before God. And who did you think you were? A few years later, Pastor, I fell. In my whole left side, I was paralyzed and couldn't walk. I just listened. She said, I'm in a wheelchair now when I go to church. But I just wanted to let you know that about a month ago, I was sitting in the wheelchair and the Spirit of the Lord told me to dance. And he lifted me out of that chair, totally paralyzed on the left-hand side, and I danced beautifully across the altars and throughout the church. As though I was totally healed and my side was perfect. But at the end of the dance, he sat me back down and I got paralyzed again on my left side. Whenever I go to church and he calls me to dance, I'm totally healed. She said, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? I said, of course I forgive you. She said, thank you for speaking into my life. You see, God will have you to dance no matter what condition your condition may be in. He will have you to dance before Him.
So when if you're in your troubled time, you feel paralyzed and you can't do anything for the Lord, trust that God will have you dance. God will have you praise. Don't let your inability cause you not to have a stability with God in faith. Father, I thank you today